Website, alternativeradio.org. That's alternativeradio.org. Printed transcripts, PDFs, and MP3s of this program are free of charge. Just call us, 1-800-444-1977. Special thanks to UBC's School of Public Policy and Global Affairs and the Chan Center for the Performing Arts. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at KBOO.fm.
Camp KBOO is in session. Sign up to support us during our summer membership drive now through June 29th. All you have to do is check out KBOO.fm/give, text KBOO to 44321, or mail us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and support a summer of memories together.
Pacific Radio in San Francisco, this is Flashpoints. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Today on the show, Miguel Gavilan Molina and Renee Salcedo walking the long walk for immigrants' rights. Also, a special extended report from Gary Baca in Los Angeles, where Trump is still threatening to send in the Marines. And to consider the big picture, we'll be joined by Latino human rights activist, historian, visionary Juan Jose Gutierrez. All this and more coming up straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, KPFA, here in the Bay Area. That's free speech, truth to power, non-corporate radio. It is a pleasure to have these free speech microphones to communicate about crucial issues of the moment of our time. We're going to begin with our own Miguel Gavilan Molina and Renee Salcedo. They're joining us. They're they've been walking and they've been talking about the battle for the rights, immigrant rights, some of the rights of the people who do the hardest work in this country, let's put it that way, who keep the country going and only get abused, undermined, disrespected, set aside. That's what we're talking about. Gavilan, welcome back. Renee, it is good to have you with us. Gavilan, tell us why you decided to walk. Remind people about the three-day walk and what you've been up to.
Well, Dennis, the group, you know, started the walk. It was put together and organized by Rene Salcedo and others in the group of, you know, Alas Almas and the coalition. And, you know, the weather has been, it was fine, I think, until today, where it really went up. But again, people are dedicated, Dennis, whether people are going to walk, you know, 3 days or walk a month or walk across the country if necessary. people are committed. And at this time and moment, there's a crisis in the country. And as always, as I have mentioned it before, ever since the Civil War, which was 160 years ago, you know, La Raza, particularly Mexican descent, have always been a scapegoat for the administration. The 1930s, after World War One, we saw who was scapegoated. It was us. They deported, I believe, close to 3 million. In the 1950s, after World War II, you have another situation there. And again, they blame the economy, they blame the recession, all of that on the, you know, brown workers. So you see that in every administration, be it Democrat or Republican. But now there's no longer an administration. We have a king that was, you know, anointed by the Supreme Court. So he doesn't deal with Congress. He doesn't deal with the courts. He doesn't deal with anything. And it's something that really concerns people. But people coming together, Dennis, I sense no fear. People are not afraid. That's a tactic that the administration is using to instill fear through intimidation and harassment. It's not working. What is working is people power. And workers, especially, you know, workers that are here undocumented who contribute billions in taxes into the economy, never see a shred of benefit or anything. But nonetheless, you know, there is this total commitment to keep families together, and it's going to be a pushback. One of the things that I've learned in the last 3 days is that, you know, white America's, you know, American dream and freedoms, their freedoms might depend on our survival. So that's a call out to everybody out there that are non-Latinos, non-people of color. Y'all need to come out, because your future is being destroyed at this moment by the current fascist and the dictatorship in the White House. But that said, Renee's here, incredible, you know, she just gave a speech, it powerful, made my, you know, hair stand up, and I'm going to turn it over to her.
Renee Saucedo, welcome back to Flashpoints. Good to have you with us. Could you set the scene? Where exactly are you now? And what's been going on over the last couple of days? But tell us what the moment looks like and then what it's all about.
Absolutely. Gavilar and I are on the west steps of the state capitol here in Sacramento, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people, not only the hundreds of people who walked for the 3 days, but also we have a lot of labor unionists, namely from SEIU, who that have been struggling and organizing to get one of their leaders out of jail, which I guess they have today. And now they are fighting to make sure that Mr. Huerta's charges get dropped. He was arrested in L.A. Trying to protect some of his members while the ICE sweeps were happening. So we have hundreds of people here. The speeches are feisty, expressing moral outrage. The Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, our sister organization, organized it. And we've heard from faith leaders and state assembly people and Sacramento City Council people. And most importantly, from migrants who have walked for 3 days here to Sacramento to condemn the deportations and the Gestapo tactics of the Trump administration.
How do you respond with these threats of they're literally talking about sending in the Marines? What does that tell you? What is it that they are so afraid of? What's the heart of the matter? How could that be?
You know, I'm not even shocked anymore that Trump would threaten to call in the Marines. This is his MO, to fight our people with violence, to criminalize us, incarcerate us, and get rid of us. And sending in the Marines is just another one of his, you know, exertions of power. like as if he were, like Miguel said, he's the king. And if we're not loyal subjects, then we're going to be repressed. But as we saw here these past 3 days, hundreds and hundreds of walkers from Vacaville to Sacramento, people are giving Trump the middle finger and saying, we will not be afraid of you. We will not be afraid of you. We will continue to organize community power and show you that we are stronger than whatever tanks you bring into our cities. The awful thing, of course, is that people are going to continue to suffer, not only from the deportations, from being forcibly separated from their families, if we don't stop it soon, but the level of repression and violence is I'm concerned. I'm concerned. But what are we going to do? We got to go out there, and unfortunately, it's going to take some sacrifice, whether it be walking in the sun or going to peaceful protests with the risk that the state is going to come down on us. I don't know what other way we can change things.
Yes. Oh, well, that's the voice of Renee Saucedo, also standing by is our own Miguel Gavilan Molina, whose life has been twisted and turned and impacted in the deepest ways by this kind of policy or lack of policy, the incredible violations of human rights that we continue to talk about, even as you've got this. You really have got a neo-fascist in the White House who is a flaming racist and a very dangerous human being who's a threat to all the people you love, Gavilan. But I assume you're focused forward. Where are you going? Where are you heading? What's at the core for you at this moment?
Well, Dennis, you know, before that, we're going to keep on organizing, and we're always going to be, you know, behind this movement. But one thing I think that's really alarming, and this is something for what I call mainstream middle America, folks that are Euro-Americans descent, you know, there's a message. This particular fascist dictator, wannabe king, is talking about mobilizing the Marines. Now, that hasn't happened, Dennis. You know, the Army has not been mobilized since, you know, the Civil War, which ended 160 years ago. But again, we see this pattern where we're always the scapegoats. You know, for whatever economic situations in this country, we are always to blame. It happened in the 1930s. Millions were deported after World War One. It happened after World War Two, Operation Wetback, where millions again were deported. And it's estimated that a third of those were citizen-born, were children, were kids. You know, we've seen it in the administrations, during the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, be it Democrat, Republican, they've always been anti-immigrant. And yet, you know, the industries, agricultural industries, you know, slaughterhouses, you know, raising cattle, raising beef, you know, all, you know, having dairy, having milk, all of that takes, you know, workers. And the majority of workers in those industries happen to be Latino workers. Here in California, the agricultural empire, the fourth economic power on earth, the backbone of that economic growth and you know, that flourishes in California comes from the work and sweat of immigrant workers. So if you gather these workers, you know, and you start deporting them in mass, he's talking about up to 20 million, you know, they are going to look at a situation and, at this point, you know, we're all kind of taking a deep breath. But there is a war, Dennis. The fact that if he mobilizes a Marine, that's a declaration of war. And people that are non-Latino, people that are not, persons of color, it's also going to affect them. You know, do they want soldiers walking around in the neighborhoods every day, downtown, like, you know, it's normal? That's what he's looking at. Trump, the fascist, is looking at, you know, declaring a war to bring in the Marines, and then, by doing so, declaring martial law. And eventually, with martial law, he's going to suspend the elections. And I think ultimately, that's the whole plan behind the scheme.
Renee, can I ask you to talk a little bit about the practical matters around defending the people that you represent, the various levels of workers that keep this economy going? What's going on the ground now? How have you prepared? Do you continue to prepare for the worst? These roundups, these illegal arrests, these quick deportations?
Definitely, we have to prepare for the worst. So at the local level, that's where many local cities and counties are implementing strategies of resistance. In Sonoma County, for example, which is where I live, we're still trying to pass a sanctuary ordinance, which other jurisdictions already have, so that our sheriff doesn't pass information anymore to ICE. And so that people who are released from the jail don't get picked up by ICE. We're working with congregations who have declared themselves sanctuary so that they may intervene when families are impacted by the deportations. Neighborhood watches. A lot of educational outreach. Know your rights. But mostly, it's about maintaining our hope, maintaining people's hope. You know, we talk about how undocumented migrants have political power. They just want to convince them that they don't. So we work with a lot of people following their leadership and their vision around this campaign. So that we organize actions like this 3-day walk.
Before we say goodbye for the moment, we'll keep talking and talking about these crucial issues, but what is the bottom line in terms of authorities arrive, show up either at the workplace or your house? What's the best thing to do?
Yeah, what we tell people is that you're less likely to be arrested by ICE if they see that you know your rights. Of course, people's rights are abused constantly. Agents, as we know, especially lately, are breaking people's car windows, breaking down doors, chasing people, including teenagers. But we think that it's still important for people to assert their legal rights, which includes the right to remain silent, so not answering any questions by ICE. You know, where are you from? Do you have your papers, for example? People have a right to not open their doors, and we are very, very adamant about that. And we've already had some of our folks, you know, I get calls late at night sometimes saying, well, I just got this person who I don't know knocking on my door at 8:30 at night saying, a man dressed in plain clothes, identifying himself generally as a school representative. And so, you know, I told her the other night, don't open the door because we just don't know. It could have been ICE.
And and we're seeing, though, a judge being prosecuted for telling somebody to go out a different door because it would be safer, right? These are the kinds of things. These are the, fascism indicators. It's amazing, but that's what you're dealing with in the face of the work that you do and the women that you work with. We're going to keep the dialogue going. Gavilan, you're going to be joining us a little bit later on in the broadcast to speak with Juan Jose. So we're happy to welcome you back. Renee, please keep us posted. Stay safe. Final word.
Dennis, I just wanted to give a shout out to the hundreds of people across Northern California and Southern California who came out to walk the 3 days from Vacaville to Sacramento. It was a sacrifice, you know, on the bodies. People missed work. And this, we got to do more of this. We got to do more of this to get the word out that our community is not going to stand by. We're going to continue to resist. We're going to continue to organize. And whether they send in the, you know, the Marines or whoever they send in, we're going to stand up and fight. We're going to fight as hard as we can, always. Never, never will we give up.
That's a place to leave it just for the moment. Rene Salcedo and, of course, our own Miguel Gavilan Molina, we are always indebted for the incredible work that you both do on this front. This is a key part of liberation in this country they call the United States of America. Thanks to both of you. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We take a very short break. We're going to go to LA. We're going to be joined by Gary Baca. Usually he joins us on Fridays. We have a new segment called Baca's Backyard, and it's about what's happening in LA and parts south. Obviously, there's a hell of a lot happening, so we're going to have a special edition. Stay close.
Pues fuiste luz, tesoro y toda la vida mía. Y adolorida, estremecida, no lo entendía, no lo entendía. Ahí estaba, bajo la palma que tú tenías allí en el patio de tu casa.
Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio here in the Bay Area. We're KPFA and we're free speech, non-corporate media, truth to power radio. We are grateful to welcome back to these airwaves our good friend Gary Baca from KPFK, program director there, contributes to our live Friday broadcasts that we do from Berkeley. Well, Gary, he's in L.A., and there are all kinds of things happening, Gary. Tell us a little bit about what you did and where you went today and some of the things you learned. I mean, Los Angeles is an amazing place at the moment, and a very dangerous moment it is.
Yes, hello, Dennis, and to our Bay Area
Welcome.
Listeners.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I called it on Friday. It was a siege upon Los Angeles. It started out with just a few arrests, and then it escalated to different warehouses, different locations, and it was a full sweep of Los Angeles. And once the organizations got hold of this, people were out and about, and organizers and activists were on the scene, and it just escalated to a point now that I really can't believe what's happening in this city. So day four of the upheaval, I went to the federal building, and I have a friend there now, Ruby Madrano, who's actually talking to me now on what's going on there. She says nothing happening yet, but the police are coming in on both sides. So I guess they're trying to enclose them and maybe even trap some of the protesters that are there in front of the federal building. But it said, this is what's said right now, Dennis, that 700 Marines are on their way. The 79th Infantry Brigade Combat Team from 29 Palms will be here in the next 24 hours. This is what they're saying. To protect.
Where is here? Where? Who is saying and where is here?
Yeah, well, it would be in front of the federal building. The Marines would post up in front of the federal building, and they would protect it. So right now there's a lot of graffiti. There's a lot of defacing of property, a lot of property damage going on. So I believe they want to go in there and stop that. There's fires happening in front of the federal building. So they want to, I guess, be able to contain that area and make sure that, because a lot of the ICE officers, a sheriff is now involved in this, the police, the Homeland Security, they're all there in front of the federal building. So folks are, protesting now. They're gathering now. And the crowd, it was a very small crowd this morning, but it's building up. So right now it's probably getting larger as folks are getting off work or having their day done, and they're showing up there at the federal building. The question, Dennis, people are asking, if the Marines do come, are they trained for this? Are they trained to be deployed against U.S. citizens and immigrants? We hear from the heads of military, they're questioning Trump's decision to bring the National Guard and Marines in with U.S. citizens. This has not really happened before. This would, of course, be terrible for the city, because and then we would have riots, looting, and it would be on fire. So right now, the Trump administration, they're clueless. And really, Dennis, this is about broken promises. Trump, Kristi Noem, and Todd Holman said they would go after murderers and sex traffickers and, the criminals, but not seamstresses, not five-year-old children, folks showing up to check in at the immigration department. I don't feel any safer because a five-year-old is being detained. I don't feel any safer that a seamstress, a mechanic, a car wash worker, whoever who's out there, who's being detained, I don't feel any safer. It's not. So it's about the broken promises, the lies. Now, when you're out there, arresting families, that's when people say that's enough. The Trump administration is not saying we want to work together. It's not talking to Los Angeles. It's not sitting down with Mayor Bath or Governor Newsom. You already heard the news. Newsom says, come on, tough guy, arrest me. They're not talking about bringing calm to the city. And I'm very concerned about that, because they don't want to work together with the people to say, let's try to figure this out. There's more to this than fighting. And they are saying on camera, we will fight you. We are not backing down at all. So we'll send in the Marines. What's next? The Army and Navy? So they're not bringing calm. They're just threatening, threats, and people don't like the threats. So the message is to Trump from Los Angeles and Kristi Noem and Todd Holman, please leave Los Angeles. Leave Southern California. This is a sanctuary city. ICE, get out of L.A. Just leave. Start over, reset, try again, do what you got to do, but get the criminals, not the families. So leave Los Angeles.
Gary, let me ask you, maybe recall for us, what are the images now? What are the things that are happening on the ground now? Help us understand a little bit more about the atmospheric pressure. What are the things? You're obviously, you're upset, and the place is being turned upside down, and it is extraordinary that they are considering sending in the Marines to Los Angeles. It is, what can one say? But you're there on the ground, you're moving around. What does it mean that this is happening in your city pretty quickly?
Oh, it's happening rapidly. So a lot of the union representatives, school teachers, people in the community are actually rallying together. Dennis, it's amazing that we see grandparents. We see folks as old as 70, 80 years old. We see folks as young as 7 years old, 7 year olds, out there, and they're not in the thick of it, but they're there in the side or at a park at a peaceful protest, not anywhere near. the combat units that are out in front of the federal building. So people are rallying together in different parts in safe neighborhoods and safe communities to say, hey, this is what we want to do, but we don't want to be in the thick of it. So you've got a lot of organizations, and you got Union Del Barrio, which is an organization who's protesting against ICE, and they have representatives out talking to immigrants and letting them know their rights. But as of right now, I'm getting images as well from Ruby, who's our correspondent there on the ground, and from me just leaving, they're posted up. Police are posted up. National Guard are posted up in around the federal building. They want to take over that area. That area is occupied by protesters and activists in the community. So they're trying to just get that area back in control and stop some of the folks who are doing property damage and graffiti and lighting bushes and cars and bikes on fire. So this is what's going on now. So they're actually lined up in front of the federal building. There's I can't even tell you how many officers. There's got to be at least 200 officers surrounding the building, if not more, and more coming around. And this is just what I see in the front. So they're ready for combat. They got the shields. They got the full riot gear. They have mace. They have all the, you know, the bang canisters. They have the tear gas. I'm not sure, but it looks as though something may jump off a little later, and it's not going to be good. So we're covering it. We're following it. We have our folks that are on the shows that we have here on KPFK on the ground, actually, and they'll be reporting from the street onto the airways of KPFK. So folks, if you want that continued coverage, log on to kpfk.org. From 8 p.m. till midnight tonight, we'll be covering it.
And what I understand there were the reporters of the folks you're working with had some interesting encounters, or what more can you tell us about that to help us flesh out the day?
Oscar Ahoya from KPFK, a programmer with the show Supplemento Comentario. He was hurt. He was hit with a flashbang. And also Rodrigo Argenta, who is a programmer here who does Voices de Libertad, was right there on the front lines, and he witnessed a friend of his getting beat, and they got him. They, you know, he was right there. He was actually taking video and documenting it when they just ran him over, steamrolled him, and got him down to the ground, and of course assaulted him while he was down and arrested him. So, you know, we're right there, and it's unfortunate that some of us have already felt the physical pain of what these officers are doing. So we'll keep you updated, but we're still going to be out there. I'm going to be out there a little later on and tomorrow, and as well as Rodrigo and Oscar from the shows here at KPFK. We're going to still be out there, and Ruben Tapia is also one of our programmers that is right there on the front lines as well.
Well, of course, we're appreciative of having this connection, and we want to keep posted and keep this dialogue going. Gary Baca, who you could hear these days on our Friday show as a part of Baca's Backyard. It's a report about Los Angeles and South. And we're happy to do more and more collaboration because everything is like islands, Gary, connected underneath.
Audience and the San Francisco Bay Area audience together, because there's so many people in the Bay Area that have family here in Los Angeles, and the same here. A lot of people here have a lot of gente out there in the Bay Area. So we are connected through San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, whether it be Hollywood, East LA, Long Beach. We're all connected. We're all one state. So, you know, that's how it's important. We're all families together living all across this California state. So it's important. Thank you, Dennis.
Beautiful. Thanks for taking the time, Gary. Really appreciate it.
And thank you.
And You're absolutely welcome. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're going to take a break. Then we're going to bring Juan Jose Gutierrez and we're going to bring Miguel Gavala Molina back. And we're going to see, get a more sweeping picture of what this struggle is like and where we're going. Please stay with us. Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Miguel Gavala Molina is out in the field, as you heard before. We're going to be joined by Gavala in a moment. We are honored to be joined by Juan Jose Gutierrez, who has been fighting this battle and has been standing for immigrants' rights against the racism that has been so much a part of this country's culture. Juan Jose Gutierrez, it has been a while, a long time since you've been on. It's good to have you back with us. Can I ask you to take a look around? I mean, for starters, Los Angeles, in the context of the age of Trump, what does this look like to you? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that any doubts that anyone had about what the second Donald Trump administration meant for the American people and for democracy overall, I think all that has been dissipated now, and we all have to be absolutely convinced that we're heading, if we don't do something about it, into the establishment of a police state in the best of circumstances and a fascist state in the worst of circumstances. What happened over the last 4 days in Southern California, in the cities of Paramount, Compton, California, and certainly the epicenter of the immigrant rights movement, Los Angeles, California, ought to have removed any doubt. Again, I want to underscore that we are not dealing with an individual that has any concern whatsoever for working people in this country, starting with undocumented immigrant workers, immigrants in general. And we know that this is a dress rehearsal. We're a laboratory where the state is experimenting about how far they can go, how far we will take it before we respond to these undemocratic, repressive measures that have been unleashed upon our community. And so we got tired of it. And what we saw over the last 4 days is a massive resistance to this repression, paramilitary in nature. I mean, who are these guys going after, you know? Agents of the FBI, the ATF, you know, the drug, the anti-drug agency, what is it called? Whatever, and other federal agents, you know, taking tanks, military tanks adapted for you know for use.
It's a military force, right? It looks like it's an army in the street.
And in violation all along, of our constitutional rights to due process, these people are going into our communities, into our commercial areas, and arresting anyone that looks Latino. They don't have warrants. They don't have anything that would justify mass arrests. And so the people got tired of it, and they started fighting back. And I think we've done a good job. You know, obviously, there are provocateurs in our ranks. That's to be expected. And those were the ones that sort of like misdirected the majority of the community and made it seem like everybody wanted to participate in violent and destructive activity, destruction of property, etc. But in reality, those were the provocateurs. By and large, the community has been very disciplined, as demonstrated today with this mass demonstration that we have with thousands of workers that gather at one of our local parks in downtown LA to demand the immediate release of labor leader, you know, the president of SEIU Local 1877, David Huerta, who was incarcerated after being beaten and mishandled by federal agents last Thursday. He was released today. We're happy to report that. But we know that we're not at the end of the road yet. You know, there are many challenges and serious...
Would you say a little bit more about that incident for people who missed that? I'm sorry to interrupt. Would you just say a little bit more about that arrest and the crew, why that's so important that he be released?
Well, what happened last Thursday is that in response to mass arrest of immigrants who had gone to federal court, immigration court here in the city of Los Angeles, and in the in immigration courts in San Bernardino and Santa Ana, and you know, the immigration authorities deployed immigration and FBI and DEA agents and other federal agents who were hiding in the corridors of the buildings. And as people went to their court hearings or to pick up an immigration document that they were entitled to enjoy legal protection, instead of getting those documents or getting their day in court, they were arrested, taken out the back door, loaded onto waiting buses, and taken away to detention centers at unknown locations. When word got out that this was one of the ways immigration authorities were proceeding, people responded by calling peaceful assemblies, press conferences, etc. But that very morning, the day after this arrest took place, a group of labor members, organized labor members from SEIU and other unions and community leaders, we showed up at a work site, and you know, we were demonstrating peacefully, and somehow there was contact made between labor leader David Huerta and federal agents of various types. They were there trying to control the crowd, and they started to batter him, and they wrestled him to the ground, nearly smashed his head on the ground. Very dangerous thing to do. He had to be hospitalized, and he had to he required serious medical attention. All the while, he was handcuffed to a pole on the wall, so that presumably he would not escape. And after several hours of being hospitalized, he was released, not to be freed, but instead he was sent to a federal detention center where he spent the next 4 days, and he was finally released today after a pressure campaign by elected representatives, labor leaders, community leaders, clergy, etc. We all united, and we are building a powerful movement to go on the offensive, because we cannot accept this type of fascist-like behavior on the part of our federal government. You know, I mean, who are they going after that they have to mobilize U.S. armed forces? As we speak, Dennis, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has announced that 700 members of the U.S. Marines stationed at Camp Pendleton are being deployed to the city of L.A. to join the 4,000 National Guardsmen, because the force doubled between yesterday and today from 2,000 to 4. That's a very little known fact. It hasn't been reported enough. And now they're going to be aided by an additional 700 U.S. Marines who are coming, presumably, to help those federal forces protect ICE and other immigration agents who are operating to identify and arrest, presumably, undocumented workers. So the movement is strong and growing. The unity is also expanding, and I have every expectation that when everything is said and done, we will not be defeated. The epicenter of the resistance and of the proactive defense of the full rights of the undocumented community are going to stand, and that will be a mechanism by which there will be greater unity achieved by the entire working class, so that these type of attacks are not allowed to take root in any community in the great state of California or across the country.
Juan Jose, let's. A friend of yours would really like to jump into this conversation. I think we've got Miguel Gavilan Molina has been doing some walking. He's a little tired, but I don't think he's too tired to join in. Gavilan?
Absolutely. It's good to have you with us, Juan Jose. And, you know, one thing I told Dennis, if there's anybody that understands the dynamic of this immigrant refugee, you know, movement, it's you, particularly in the largest concentration of Latinos in the country, which is Southern California. My concern, Juan Jose, and you've kind of touched upon it, and Dennis has touched upon it, and that's that, you know, the Marines are not a force of, you know, doing security. They are not, you know, safety officers. They don't come in to do safety and security. The Marines come in to combat. The Marines are the shock troops. You know, that's who they send in, you know, when this country has invaded other countries. So to utilize the Marines, we haven't seen anything like this one, we'll say, for 160 years. That's at the end of the Civil War. But it looks like now, 160 years later, the Confederacy has finally taken over the White House. The white supremacists, the unbelievable, you know, King Donald, who is no longer president but a king, as you said, doesn't care. He has no concern about workers. But one of the things one will say, you know, even though we've been targeted, historically, La Raza has always been targeted by either Republican or Democrat administrations. But this one here, you know, is targeted, you know, as we're the problem in this country. But the real problem is the 1,600 domestic terrorists that he released, you know, into the population on day one. My concern, again, is once you bring in the Marines, it's war. It's a declaration of war. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the double standard and the hypocrisy by the Donald Trump administration and the president himself ought not to be missed. As you correctly pointed out, Gavilan, the real terrorists, those that assaulted the symbol of federal power in the United States, which was the federal capital in Washington, D.C., on January 6th, several years ago, who were tried and convicted of engaging in acts of terrorism. They assassinated federal agents. They injured other agents. They threatened the lives not only of the president of the House of Representatives at that time, Nancy Pelosi, the vice president himself, Mike Pence, and many members of the House of Representatives that were convened to the House of Representatives to certify the election results in 2020, where Joe Biden was declared the winner. And that became and evolved into a near catastrophe. of unknown proportions. Those individuals that destroyed federal property, that engaged in violent acts, who were convicted afterwards of having committed terrorist acts, as soon as President Donald Trump was invested with the power of the presidency, they all got pardons, and they were proclaimed heroes. Actually, they had been proclaimed heroes all along until their pardons. And undocumented workers that have to labor in the most difficult and underpaid jobs, they're slandered and represented to the American people as the worst of the worst, terrorists, criminals, rapists, and everything else that we have been commenting for years. They don't get a free pass, and instead they get the full power of the state, of the government of the United States, to be persecuted and repressed. This double standard cannot be allowed to stand. And I'm happy to report that I don't know what's being reported in the media across the country, because I haven't had time to check much of the media. But I'll tell you something. The people that were on the trenches leading this struggle against the imposition of a fascist state in the city of L.A., in California, and ultimately in the country, were not undocumented workers. They were the children and the grandchildren of the undocumented, who are still stricken with fear, who got tired of seeing their parents and other family members being repressed in this un-American way, and they said, enough, ya basta. And they went out to the streets, and they, American citizens, first, second, third generation, and they said, hey, man, we gotta do something to prevent our family members from being victimized by this vicious government that we have in the White House today. So I think that that's very important, to report it and to have people understand that this is a serious movement that's growing by the day. But we must remain calm in the sense that we cannot allow ourselves, and that's been our position, we cannot go the violent route, because that's gonna, that's not gonna take us, to where we want to be at the end of this very difficult struggle. And that's why we have joined Governor Gavin Newsom in demanding that if things are going to come down, President Donald Trump needs to immediately send back to their barracks, the military personnel that have been sent to occupy the city of L.A., and to threaten all residents, but specifically the undocumented and overall immigrant population of Southern California.
Thank you, Juan Jose Gutierrez. We always depend on you, Juan, for giving us the big picture and helping us see with a clarity where we are and what comes next. It's an inspiration to have you. I'm glad that you joined us tonight and that you can continue, we hope, to dialogue around this as it unfolds. Miguel and I obviously are indebted to all your extraordinary work over the years. So we thank you for joining us.
I appreciate the invite. I think it's very important that we all engage in this expanding dialogue. We have to create more unity and a growing determination to say, ya basta, enough is enough. We got to take our country back.
Beautiful. Our doors are wide open, that's for sure. Thanks to both. You are listening. You're hearing all of this on Flashpoints Non-Corporate Free Speech Radio. It's the Pacifica Radio Network. We're broadcasting from the San Francisco Bay Area, but we're getting a lot of information coming from down south. Stay with us. We got more coming, though. circle back for a moment to the continuing expanding genocide. We will not take our eye off it. We will leave the mics open. Obviously, some folks trying to bring some aid to the suffering. The folks on the boat were intercepted and were, I'm going to call it, I'll characterize as kidnapped on the sea and taken to Israel. And yeah, I'm sure you've heard the story six different ways. But anyway, Cynthia Papermaster of Code Pink here in the Bay Area has been keeping an eye on all of this for Code Pink and for the world. Cynthia, you're in the middle of your own fast, but you're keeping track about what's going on the ground. So talk to us. How are you feeling? Are you okay? You're fasting what day?
This is day 19 for me on a 250-calorie a day fast, and that's a starvation fast. But I am getting a little bit of nourishment each day, and for some reason I'm still making sense, I think. Not sure.
Well, tell us about what's been going on. You were at the Israeli embassy today, right? The Israeli consulate in San Francisco. Yes.
Yeah, we were at the consulate in San Francisco mainly to draw attention to Israel's ongoing genocide and the upcoming march to Gaza that's happening starting next week. Thousands of people are converging on Cairo. They're rendezvousing there on the 12th, and then they're setting out the next day by bus to I've forgotten the name of the town they're going to by bus, and then they're going to go on foot nearly 30 miles to the Rafah crossing with Egypt. And so they are hoping that Egypt will allow this march to happen. As I said, they're coming from all over the world, and many, many Code Pinks are traveling there. Folks with Taxpayers Against Genocide are traveling there. And they're going to be walking through the desert in 90-degree heat or hotter. And then they're going to camp in tents at the Rafah border with Gaza, hoping that kind of diplomatic pressure will convince the Egyptians to open the border, convince the Israelis to allow food, water, fuel, and medical supplies in.
So it's highly unlikely. I mean, listen, we're reporting in the last 24 hours the seizing of the boat to Gaza and those who were on it, and a lot of effort to do so. I'm thinking that this isn't going to get close to that border, but I guess it's a concept worth thinking about. I guess what do you think comes next? What kind of protests are happening or planned or in terms of the Bay Area and, you know, what happens next? Okay. What's Code Pink up to?
Well, we're going to encourage Code Pink chapters all over the country to hold solidarity actions with the march. Here in the Bay Area, we're just beginning our planning. We've got a whole week to plan what we're going to do, and we're thinking an encampment at a crucial place, a place where a certain government is carrying out a genocide. An encampment, various marches with music, art, poetry. We want to be the vision of peace in our actions, and in contrast to the almost unbearable violence that Israel is carrying out with U.S. financing. I mean, let's be honest, the U.S. is an accomplice, a partner in this genocide. We are not innocent bystanders by any means. And yeah. so we want to be the kind of bystanders that take action, that absolutely oppose this going on in our name. So we will have our events up on CodePink.org. CodePink.org is the CodePink website where you can always check for Bay Area CodePink events. And I encourage people to come out and join us.
Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia Papermaster, Code Pink for the Bay Area. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and we are grateful to have these free speech airwaves to broadcast to you with. Stay tuned, please.
And that does it for another episode of Flashpoints. Our executive producer is Dennis Bernstein. Senior producers are Miguel Gavilan Molina and Kevin Pina. Technical director is Mike Biggs. Our theme music is written and produced by Charlie Lang. For questions, comments, email Dennis Bernstein at dennis@kpfa.org. Thank you for listening.
En fête et en délire, suffoquant sous le soleil et sous la joie, et j'entends dans la musique les cris, les rires.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information